like to start and preface my main text this morning. Go to Acts, the 16th chapter. Acts 16 and 20, well, maybe we'll start at 23. This is a familiar passage, a story of Paul and Silas. Everybody probably remembers that. Maybe for the sake of time, if you'll allow me to paraphrase a little bit as we go through it. It said, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, and they charged the jailer to keep them safely. So the jailer took them and put them in the innermost part of the prison." It was serious business to be the keeper of the prisoners, and they had a responsibility that they didn't want to fail because it might mean their life. So they put them in the innermost part of the prison. It said they put their feet fast in stocks. But at midnight, something different happened in the prison. At midnight, it said that Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And it said that the prisoners heard them. And when that happened, there was a great earthquake, and you know how what happened there. The doors were opened, and things were shaken around, and the prisoners were loosed, and the keeper was very much afraid of what was going to happen next. And he drew his sword and was going to take his own life for fear that they were all gone. But it said that Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, we're all here." Now something different happened real quickly in the heart of the keeper. Now all of a sudden, instead of getting ready to take his own life, he called for a light and he sprang in. He didn't quietly walk in. It said he sprang in and he came trembling. And he fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved? What is it that I must do to be saved?" Now he wasn't so concerned about his physical life and if his physical life was going to be saved, but now he was interested in his spiritual life. "Sirs, what is it that I must do to be saved?" And it said, they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." This question, what must I do to be saved? It's a personal question. He didn't say, what must everyone else do? But he said, what is it that I must do? Oh, sirs, this is an important matter. My soul's at stake. What must I do to be saved? And this is a question that I reflect on. Often I reflect on this, and with some urgency in my mind because the stakes are so high. And I reflect and ponder because we come to many forks in the road through life, don't we? We come to many places of decision. Places of decision that have profound effects on the rest of our life. And the lives of other people. Profound effects on the lives of other people. And our eternal soul is at stake, and so I want to get it right. The scripture says, if I gain the whole world, if I'm successful in the eyes of the world and all temporal things, but I lose my soul, if that happens, then what's any of it worth? It's not worth anything anymore. You go by cemeteries that are just filled with people. Some people that have lived long years in this world. But they're gone now. But these were people that had goals and objectives and dreams of life. And perhaps they were very successful in life. Some of them were. But they're gone now. They're not here anymore. All there is a little bit of concrete that has their name and a date. And most of the time, people don't even walk by it and remember that they were even here. But they had dreams. They had goals, just like we do today. But their time is past. They've been ushered into eternal life. and so will we. And so it's important today that we get this right. I remember as a teenager, we had young people's meetings every once in a while, and I think it was usually on Saturday night. And I remember one time Brother Clifford Wilson was gonna, he didn't normally do it, but he was going to this time. And he met with us and he sat down and he said, "Well," he said, "do y'all have anything that's on your mind? Anything you wanna talk about? Anything that that you'd like to discuss?" And my sister Julie, I remember she asked the question. She said, "How do we know what the will of God is for our lives?" She actually asked that question on more than one occasion. I finally got the idea that maybe that was an important question to think about. What is it, Lord? How do we know what the will of the Lord is for our lives? And we have some graduates here today that have reached a milestone, but really today and this time of your life, it represents stepping into a new stage of life where it seems like the questions and the options just start to multiply for you. Lots of questions that you'll begin to process in your mind, and decision points that you come to, and sometimes it can almost seem overwhelming because they can seem intertwined and intermingled, and you want to get it right because it seems like life's ahead of you, and which way should I go? And if I do this, that might have this effect, but if I turn here, and we can get to the place where it almost seems overwhelming and we just want to run away with it sometimes. But I want to say this today, you know what? That reality doesn't go away after you pass this stage of life. That really is a reality that goes with us through life. We find ourselves in places where we have questions we have to wade through. We have decisions that face us that we can't run away from. No decision is a decision. And no decision has consequences to it. And we can't run away from those forks in the road where you have decision points where you have to decide. Time's going to keep marching on. And so are you. And so it's important this morning that we get it right. And so I want to share a verse and a thought that's been a challenge and help to me in the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter. John, the 8th chapter, I want to read a verse here. In the 31st verse, it said, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Now, the Pharisees, they always had lots of questions for Jesus. And before Jesus said this, the Pharisees were trying to stump Jesus. In fact, the Pharisees had come to Jesus with the adulterous woman. That was brought out in Sunday school this morning. They would do everything they could to present before Jesus situations that seemed complicated, or situations that they felt like would put Him in a difficult spot. And they knew that once they put it in front of Him, He was going to have to respond one way or another. And so they came to Him and they were asking all sorts of questions, some of which they didn't understand themselves, most of which they really didn't have the kind of understanding. His disciples asked Him questions that they didn't understand. The Jews that were there, they had lots of things that they didn't understand as well. And in the midst of the Pharisees trying to put Jesus in a difficult spot, Jesus turned to the Jews which believed on him. And he said, if you continue in my word, then you'll be my disciples indeed. And that's the little thought that I want to leave with you and encourage you with this morning, is continue in the word of the Lord. Continue in my word. Because today, more than any day in the past, I think I can say that, there are lots of words that you will hear. There's lots of purported wisdom that is there to be shared. A lot of people online and on the radio and on the billboards and in books ready to tell you how it is. Ready to proclaim truth. Ready to help you understand how you ought to navigate through life. And you can get to the place where you can get consumed with all of the static sometimes. All of the words of wisdom that other people have to offer. And yet the simple words of Jesus Christ was, continue in my word. Have you ever noticed that the Lord had this really special way of distilling down to a really very few words poignant truths? Sometimes you ask somebody a question, like at work, you ask somebody a question, and 15 minutes later they're still trying to answer the question and they're still talking. You know, you start to wonder if maybe they don't know the answer in the first place. You start smelling a little smoke. The Lord had a way of getting to the truth right now, real quick. I remember one time somebody went through and read the Sermon on the Mount, and it only took them 16 minutes or so. We get up here and preach for 30, 45 minutes. The Lord was able to get up and in just a few minutes proclaim those very few words that make such an important, drastic difference in our lives. Jesus Christ was the master of executive summary. Jesus Christ was a master at distilling down to distill out those words and those truths and that instruction that is most important for us to be able to go through life successfully. Do you know what it means to distill? I want to spend just a couple minutes on that. Distillation is a process of separation. That's what distillation means. Distillation means that you are separating unlike things. If you have ethanol and water in a pot and you put it on the stove and you turn the temperature up, you can separate the ethanol out of it because it has a boiling point that's different from water. And so you can evaporate, boil it out, capture the vapor, cool it down, condense it so it goes back to a liquid, and now you have water and you have ethanol. Have you ever driven by a refinery before? And have you ever noticed these tall, cylindrical, kind of silver-looking columns? Have you ever seen those? Most often, those are distillation columns. And they refine crude oil. Did you know that a barrel of crude oil doesn't have a lot of value for you? If somebody deposits a barrel of crude oil on your doorstep, you're going to be hard-pressed to find very many uses for that crude oil. And if somebody says, well, I'll tell you what, if you can separate that crude oil, you can get gasoline out of it and diesel fuel and kerosene or jet fuel, and you can get some heating oil and you can have a lot of value with those things, if you will. Well, if you go in the house and you get out a fork and a spoon and a knife and maybe get a strainer out of the drawer, you're going to be there a long time trying to separate out that crude oil. It doesn't have a lot of value. But there's this simple process called distillation. And if you take that crude oil and you introduce it into a distillation column, the way that the Lord set this up is all of those different components that are all mixed in this liquid that looks like a homogeneous solution. It's all the same. It's all a liquid. It's crude oil. It's unrefined petroleum. But all of those different components have different boiling points. And you can boil them at certain temperatures and pressures, and those big columns are set up so that they operate at specific temperatures and pressures so that you can, one by one, systematically, in a really pretty simple process, start to distill or separate out, boil off. One of them boils and all the rest of them decides they're not ready to boil yet. And it turns into a vapor, and you capture it on a side stream. And then you cool it down so that it goes back to a liquid. And then all of a sudden, you get done, and you started out with this barrel of a whole bunch of stuff that you hardly know what to do with. But when you get done, you have it all distilled down so that you can do something with it, and it has value to it. And did you know that that is what the Lord wants to do for us in our lives? He wants to take a simple process, and He wants us to be able to get our arms around it and apply it to our lives so that we can take situations that seem all combined and intertwined, and we're told there's value in there somewhere. You just have to handle it in the right way. But if we don't know how to handle it, and we go off on our own, and we try to figure out how to separate all that with a fork and a knife and a special filter we've designed in the backyard, we're going to make a mess of things. But Paul told us in the 4th chapter of Hebrews, he said, the Word of God, not the word of other people, not my thoughts, Not all these things I look up online and on the internet, what everybody else has to say. But the Scripture says, but the Word of God is quick, it's alive, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of what? Soul and spirit. You ever tried to divide the soul and the spirit? It's pretty tricky. But the Word of God can do it. The Word of God has a way of getting in there to the places that just seem like they're just so close coupled, it's hard to go out into the world and tell folks real quick that are from all different backgrounds how to divide the soul and the spirit. We might be able to have a good discussion this morning in here because we have some knowledge from the Word of God. But you take the Word of God away, and you rely on the world to begin to tell you how to divide the soul and the spirit, or your task to go out there and explain to an honest, uneducated spiritual soul and say, here's how you divide the soul and the spirit, and you don't have this. That's a tough place. It said that it can divide the bone and the marrow. Well, that's pretty close. That's pretty close. And it says discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Wait a minute. Thoughts and intents. Did you know you can have a thought that's not your intent? Well, I have a hard time going around the building this morning and saying, well, I'll tell you what, Michael, here's what your thought was, and I know your intent too. And then go around and do that with everybody. I can't do that. The Lord's able to do that. He's able to get right down in there and start to distill and separate out and get right down to where He can put things out so that it becomes quite clear. The Word of the Lord. And God, Jesus Christ, often did exactly that. In the Scriptures, He He fielded a lot of questions that seemed difficult to understand. And he was able to parse and to distill and to separate out so that we could get a hold of what it was that was most important. And often in life, young folks, and not just the young folks, but everybody here, life presents us with situations that are beyond our capability to separate through and understand how to navigate the right way and end up with something that's precious and valuable and that can be used. Have you ever been there? Well, we've been there and we're going to be there again. Because that's how life is. And this morning we've read how the Lord distilled down many possible responses to the believers that day with all the questions that were coming forth, all the possible answers that could have been long in time explaining. The Lord simply said, continue in my word. Continue in my word. Continuing in the word of God has a way of separating right from wrong. Being able to not be distracted by all of the voices and the truths and the thoughts and the opinions and all of the things that we're bombarded with in life. If we'll focus in the Word and continue. Don't stop. Don't give it up. Don't turn to the right or the left. But Jesus Christ said, continue. Continue in my word. Did you know that that brings stability to our lives in a very unstable world? I remember when I was a teenager, there was something going on that was a little disturbing to me. And I remember talking to Brother Adriel Bowman about it. Some of you know Brother Adriel Bowman. And we were at Monarch and we were walking down the road and I was just telling him about it. And if you know Brother Adriel Bowman, a man I highly respect, he was just walking along, listening. And when I finally got done, he said, you know, he said, sometimes people are way up here. And they're doing all this up here. And he said, and other people, they're way down here. And they're going along and they're trying to operate down here. He said, what you need to do? He said, you need to get right lined up in the center and you just need to continue on. And I never forgot that. Continue on in the word of the Lord. You want to know the Lord and His will for you? Walk in the light that He's given you. Walk in the light that He's already given you. You say, well, there's things I don't understand. There's things we all don't understand. Walk in the simple light that Jesus Christ has given you, and it will lead you into more light. Just continue on in what you've been taught. Continue on in the word of the Lord. And the Lord has a way, if we'll do that, if we'll be dedicated to continue in the simple things and be faithful in the fundamental word of the Lord, the Lord has a way of bringing us into deeper places. Don't give up the simple just because you don't understand the deep. But be faithful to continue on and be consistent in it. And the things that you've been taught in your youth in these buildings by faithful men and women of God, don't turn away from them. Young folks, you get a little further in life and you begin to experience more freedom and more options. And more roads that you can turn onto. Don't turn away from the truth. that you've been given. I remember when I found myself, I was 18 years old and moved away from home and was in school, and it was early on, and I was in a gathering, and a speaker was there talking to many freshmen, and he began talking in ways that were not Christian-like. And he wasn't getting the response that he was looking for, even with the group of people, probably a lot of folks didn't claim to just be Christians that were there. And he finally stopped and he looked out over the group and he said, "Look," he said, "lighten up." He said, "Your parents aren't here." He said, "Your parents aren't here." He said, they don't know what's going on here. They don't hear what's being said. Lighten up. Loosen up. Enjoy yourself." So I did. I loosened up. I got up and I walked out of there. And I went back to my room. And I decided that whether my parents were there or not, whether my pastor was there or not, whether anybody at Wednesday night prayer meeting that I would meet with later in the week knew what was going on or not, I wanted to continue on. I wanted to stick with the word of the Lord that I had been taught. May not have understood all of the deep things, but God had been good to reveal to me some fundamentals and to some simple things that I could get my arms around and follow. And the Lord's blessed that decision. I've never had any regrets for getting right in there where the word of the Lord is and keeping my eyes off those that operate up here and some down here. And, you know, we can go through life and be invaded with a lot of emotion from other people. Very emotional about things. And be invaded by strong feelings and strong thoughts. But the word of the Lord instructs us to be in that place where we can just rest in the word of the Lord and turn back to that security. Yes, sometimes we're going to get off track. Sometimes we may inadvertently take the wrong road. But did you know in the distillation process, in physical terms, there's this thing called a second cut. I'm sure thankful for the second cut with the Lord. There's this thing called a second cut and maybe a third cut where if it didn't separate it out the first time, you got the opportunity to run back through the second time. I've had to go back through the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth. And I was always so thankful for the verse that said a just man falls seven times and rises again. Turn. Don't give up, folks. Oh, don't give up. Continue on in the word of the Lord. The Lord will be faithful to help us. Is the way of the Lord complicated? It was never intended to be complicated. The way of the Lord was never intent. We can complicate it. People can complicate it. Some folks jump straight into areas that are way deeper than where they're ready to be. Jump out into deep waters without first following the simple Christian principles that the Lord has laid out. And then they get discouraged and fall away because they don't understand the deep. That's a trick of the devil. Some folks earlier in life can have a lot of zeal without a lot of knowledge, and they aspire to great spiritual things, which is good to aspire to be great spiritually if you have the right spirit about it. But sometimes people aspire for the great and fail to pay attention to the basic fundamentals, responsibilities that we have of being Christians in a day-to-day walk with the Lord. Paul and Silas found themselves in jail, and they didn't really know what was coming next. They had no way of knowing what was coming next. They didn't know how to get out of there. They didn't know what was going to transpire perhaps the next morning, but they knew how to pray and sing. And so they continued doing what they knew to do was right. In the midst of trouble, in the midst of a situation that looked bleak and they maybe didn't know exactly how to, all the ins and outs of it, they did know how to sing and pray. And when they began to do what they knew to do, the Lord opened the doors and they were able to go through the door that opened up. The Lord will do that for us in life. Sometimes we sit back and we don't continue in the Word because we're trying to figure out how that door is going to open. And as soon as I figure out how that door is going to open, then I'll continue. No, the Lord just instructs us. Just continue. King Jehoshaphat met a mighty army that was greater than he. They didn't know what to do. It was bigger than they were. And the Lord said, I got this battle, but I don't want you to go and hide. I want you to go out and face them. Go where the battle is and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And they went out there not knowing all the answers, but they did what the Lord told them to do. And it said when they began to sing and praise the Lord, again, the same thing that Paul and Silas did, doing that they knew to do, the Lord sent ambushments against their enemy and delivered them. The disciples and the Jews had many questions and were uncertain about many things, just as we find ourselves in life. But the exhortation that was given to the disciples then, and that I want to encourage you with this morning, is continue in the word of the Lord. And He will be faithful, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. He'll begin to help distill out, if you will, separate out for you the important from the not as important, from the valued from the contaminants, and that aren't as valued. And if we'll do that, the Lord will be so faithful to bring us out into a wealthy place. This morning, continue in the word of the Lord. May God bless each one of you, is my prayer.